Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And joining me now for Morning Combat is a gentleman who will be on the main card of UFC 299 when he returns to action after a bit of a layoff when he takes on Jack De La Maddalena in Miami. A Miami man himself. It is, of course, Gilbert Burns. Hi, Gilbert. How are you?
Doing great, Luca. Thank you.
How are we feeling? What's the hair plan for 299? What's it going to be on that day?
We're going to do some braids. It's going to look nice. You're going to braid a little bit. It's going to be okay. Nice.
All right. I look forward to seeing. Hey, let's back up a step, right? You're fighting at UFC 299, but you've been off since your fight to Bilal Muhammad. Yeah. The issue was a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So my reading on this apparently is that you could have had surgery. You did not get it. And instead, you got stem cells. Did I get all of that correct?
Yes, you did, but by the doctor. You know, the doctor say, hey, you know what, shoulder is the best, you know, because it was deltoid injury, AC joint. I still had a trapezius muscle tear. It was bad, but he said, but he's a surgery case, but you open to try a stem cell treatment, then we'll see. I say, yes, I don't want to get the surgery. He said, let's do a stem cell right now. Don't do anything. Don't run. You just can't walk, but don't grab. You can't do anything for a month. After a month, you come back and then we'll see if it's getting a little bit better. You don't need the surgery. So after a month, I went back and they say, oh, he's really healing. He's getting better. Stem cell is doing good work with you because with a lot of people, it don't work like that. And then we put another stem cell right there and it started getting so much better. Total, we did 3 stem cell shots. And after 3 months, was kind of regenerated, was getting better. And then we slowly started the PT. So it was all the way to November until we got totally clear and get back to training. So it was a little hard path, but was necessary. And then I could avoid surgery. It's just a little, I have a difference right now. The left shoulder is a little bit taller than the right shoulder. It's just a little thing, but I don't lose no movement, no random motion. It's all good.
Okay. So a bunch of follow-ups, because I am somebody who has actually had shoulder surgery and I have complicated feelings about it. But the first thing I want to ask is, for the stem cell, you obviously have to do that in a different country, right? So what was that process like actually getting stem cells?
So the process, I was going all the way to Colombia where they do, but back then USADA is still in the UFC. And I was talking to Jeff Novinsky, and then he said, couple athletes that went all the way to Colombia to get this treatment, they got caught with I forgot what the substance is. Everyone's kind of using for pain and everything. Shit, I forgot, but they said because they put a stem cell and they put another steroid. It's not a steroid, but
a medical steroid.
All the grapplers are doing that help with the injury, the recovery. And he asked me not go there because they kind of put extra things in the stem cells, and they had a company all the way in Salt Lake City they will give to the UFC. So that's what I did. I did heal my Dr. Galvin here in South Florida. UFC bought the stem cell in Salt Lake City. They sent over here. They flew here in the morning. I put the stem cell. We did that 3 times.
So UFC paid for this?
Yes, UFC paid for these.
Wow. Okay. Now, the last question I have about this is, you had in a different interview said that the tear you had in your ligaments, it was almost all the way gone, not fully. Yeah. So the stem cells, does it actually regrow the ligament back to where you...
So, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
It did regrow because it was tingling. It was kind of like, was almost ripped apart. But that's what we did. We did the stem cells and we waited a month before I do any PT, any something. I was holding my arm, I was doing anything, and then was regenerating, was getting better. The ligament was kind of getting together. We did the second one and accelerate that a little bit, and eventually with PT, with everything, got all the ligaments back.
Amazing. And then, as you said today, because the shoulder is a complicated joint, right? It can move in a bunch of different directions. You feel like you've got stability, strength.
100%. I got everything. 100%. I can punch. Left hook is stronger. I don't know why.
you might need it. All right. So you're a smart guy, Gilbert. Let's talk about Jack De La Maddalena. I know you've done a bit of scouting on him, probably a significant amount. When you look at him, what do you see?
I see a tough dude, physically very strong, young, hungry, a good boxing, both stance. He's orthodox the way I see, but he plays good southpaw, good defense, good body shots, good sprawl. It seems that he likes to grapple a little bit. I saw a couple of interviews that Craig Jones kind of grappled him a little bit and said good things about it. I know he can grapple just because his fight with Basile, he tried a couple guillotines. If you don't grapple, you're not going, if you're going to try, you know. The way he was trying, I say, oh, he can grapple, you know. So I think he is a completely package, you know. He can grapple. He can defend a takedown. I don't think takedown defense was the most impressive with a short notice. But I think he's a danger fighter, you know, with a good motivated fighter in front of him. You know, if he beats me, he's what, top five, top four right there, very close to a title shot. I think he's gonna be super dangerous at that night.
The guy you mentioned who he had the short notice fight with, Basil Hafez. Yeah, do you attribute the, what do you want to call that, relative underperformance of De La Maddalena, is that because the opponent was last minute, or is there something more about the style and the sort of strategic approach that guy took?
I see the two ways to see it. I see it could see that. It could see, oh, change it upon it. But the only thing was, it should be Sean Brady. Like, I think Sean Brady would maybe do the same that the guy did. But another thing that I'm seeing, okay, was short notice. The guy was kind of awkward, different style. And was that apex cage, you know, way smaller. So that guy run through a takedown. I kind of can give that, okay, maybe it was a little bit off night, changing opponent, changed the date. He's supposed to fight and they stay extra day in Vegas, fight on the next week. It might be that too, we're going to find out March 9th, but we see a little path right there, you know?
In terms of maintaining performance, I know you train at the, what's it called? The Institute for Human Performance. I believe that's the name, right?
I used to. Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore. So where do you go to for that similar kind of training that you got there? Yeah. Where do you go now?
I have a Brazilian physical therapist, strength conditioning coach. That's kind of like helping me more. We're kind of doing, I'll say kind of the similar style, but with less weight, more cardio in movement. You know, we're still doing a circuit. We do every Saturday. We do a my garage. I have a garage with mats, with Versa Climber, bike, weights, everything. So we do here. But regular, we do a regular strength and conditioning, cardio, strength, but not as big weights that I used to do.
Why the change?
My body was crying. It was a lot of little injuries, a lot of little things. It was a lot of, you know, like kind of overtraining, sometimes in the middle of the training, feeling fatigue the day of the sport. And now we kind of slowed. You're still doing, but not as I used to do, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so but my question is this. Like, do you have on a piece of paper measurables about like what you know your VO2 max to be, or other kinds of metrics that matter to you, so that you always know, hey, this tells me I'm in shape because I can see my numbers are the same camp over camp.
I do. I got that freaking Oura Ring. I got the everything. I got all the numbers, and my coach are saying I want to know. I don't have with myself. I don't see a lot, but I always want to know how I'm doing, how the numbers, everything is. But they check everything. My strength conditioning, got all the tests, all the numbers.
So part of the reason I ask is because you may be aware of the statistic that basically in your weight class, 170 pounds, and this is not a title fight, but obviously that's going to be one of your goals.
Yes.
But in title fights, only Tyron Woodley in two different occasions, Demian Maia, and then the gentleman from England, Darren Till. Excuse me.
Okay.
Those are the only two times someone over the age of 35 has either won or defended a UFC title at welterweight. You're 37. Your opponent is 27. To what extent have you given thought about your age and what that means for your performance?
I give it thought easily here at the gym when I see freaking Jason Jackson with a fighting against what's the guy that he just beat? Oh my god, the former
in the
PFL.
PFL Bellator?
Yeah.
Oh, Ray Cooper. Poor bastard.
Yeah, I was being freaking Ray Cooper and I was doing great against Jason Jackson. And I think I have a lot of high level teammates that I can literally share daily experience grappling, sparring. And those guys are younger than me. They're hungry too. But let me say that good. When I still testing myself and beating and doing the high level things with these guys and make the best decision on training and being as competitive as these guys, I still like to compete. You know, whenever the little hunger goes, my hunger goes down, my fire goes down, and I cannot compete with these guys at the gym anymore, I'm done. But these guys are competing on the highest level and we're beating each other in the gym, you know, like, I'm being Ray Cooper for this guy and giving him freaking five crazy rounds. I know I still get everything. You know, I don't, to be honest, Luki, I don't care about the age so much. You know, I care about my body. I care about the way I think. I care if I still have it, if I still have the fire, if I'm taking care of my body. I don't drink. I don't go out. I eat a little bit. I love to eat, but I don't eat as crazy. But that's about it. No drugs, no smoke. My body's freaking healthy, bro. I think if we get my body and get someone else's body and we do the chronological age, I'll be way younger than a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and you have world-class training partners. So if you're doing well against them, it's a pretty good measurement about how you'll do elsewhere. In terms of Jack De La Maddalena, what would you say that you have, either from experience or skill, that he's never faced?
What I have that he never faced. I have a lot of experience that putting, I think the mix it up. If I look his last opponents, Kevin Holland, Basil Hafez, Danny Roberts, we got the Russian dude, we got a lot of high level guys that he fought, but no one I think possessed the power that I do, the grappling that I do, the high level competition that I face. I think really putting it all together, the grappling, the wrestling, the heavy hands, the movement, the experience, freaking April's 10 years that I'm in the UFC. So I think that all he haven't seen yet, that all together, high level grappling with a good wrestling, strong guy that punches very hard, is quick. I think putting all that together is going to be a little problem for him.
You mentioned Craig Jones. I wonder what you think. Yeah, he's obviously he loves to joke, and I love his jokes. I actually think he's hysterical, and I honestly think that like jiu-jitsu needs people like that, who are not so crazy all the time. But I wonder what you make of what he has taught, because I've watched many of his instructionals, and one thing he's big on is like, you know, forget about how points are scored, but like what is functionally valuable. Yes. Like he goes back to Turks and pins and rides. Yes. It's almost like catch wrestling, but a little bit more jiu-jitsu-y. Yes. What do you make of what he thinks about what the modern grappling game is missing or could be better at?
I think the experience that Craig has now, especially trying to evoke and studying the MMA, I think he has such a high level grappling. He does can organize and structure that very good, that I think he gave a couple of good points for Jack. You know, I think a couple of details, how to get up, the cage control, how they do they face on all his camp. He got ready for Islam, the first fight, you know, the whole camp. Volk looked very good at that fight, you know, take down defense on point, get up on point, defense on point. And I think he gave kind of a lot of those tips for Jack. You know, I think Jack is going to be ready for a lot of different basic scenarios, get ups, take down defense, back defense. I think he's going to be sharp, you know, on it. But that's what I like the most, Luka, to be honest. That's what I like when it's not easy, when I like, oh shit, he's defending here, okay, I got to change there. And then I change and his followers say, okay, he got it. Okay. That's when it's funny for me, when they're like, okay, oh, he knows what he's doing. That was a good get up. You know, oh, okay, not bad. Oh, good defense. That's what get me going the most when it's not easy. When I like, I really have to work for it. And we start change jiu-jitsu. That's when my eyes start get bright. And then I, oh my God, I like it. Okay, like you want to do jiu-jitsu? We're gonna grapple. We're gonna exchange. So if that's the case that you're gonna have the answers, I'm more intrigued to see that coming. Okay, let's grapple. Let's see how many variations you have, how many defense you have. That's what I like the most.
What does a win at UFC 299 realistically get you?
It depends. It depends on what type of win. You know, if I go out there and get a finish and dominate Jack and show his levels, I think he get me. I'm back. I'm very close to that door to another title shot. You know, maybe one more. We'll see. When I hear Dana White saying he get a three opponents for Leon, he gets me like, oh my God, okay. Belal is not clear. He's not the one that he's supposed to be the number one contender, but he's not. Like, whenever I start hearing that, I say, okay, I got to do my homework. You know, my homework right now is to go out there and make a statement. If I go out there and get it big and get a good win, I think I'm going to be very close to a title shot. Maybe with a little bit more homework to do, or maybe not.
All right, very quickly, I appreciate your time. Give me a prediction for the main event, excuse me, the co-main event, Dustin Poirier, Benoit Saint-Denis.
Oh my God, they put me in trouble right now. I think Benoit is a beast. I think he has everything to become a champion. He's a monster. He's huge. I don't even know how he makes 155, but the guy is danger mentality. I love that military mentality. You know, those guys really come to a war. But Dustin's a dog, bro. I don't bet, but if I would bet, I don't bet against Dustin. You know, freaking guy shows up every single time. So I think it's going to be a crazy fight, but I think Dustin can get the job done.
Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera, main event.
I like both guys too. You just put me on the situation right now. But I think O'Malley's the fastest guy. O'Malley's more creative. O'Malley, he won that one back. Otherwise, he would not call for that one. And I think if Pichito was too much a crazy improvement, I don't think Sean will call for that rematch right now. The way he called it, the way he make it happen, he knows something that we don't know. And then I got Sean O'Malley still the champion for this fight.
Last but not least, just want to pick your brain as somebody who's been in the fight game. To what extent were you surprised by Topuria's win over Volkanovski?
Not really, not much. I this guy came here to the gym. He did half of his camp against Josh Emmett here, and he knocked out three of my teammates. Out, ooh, not down, out, with the big gloves. With the big gloves. I'm going to say that one more time. With the big gloves.
Jesus Christ.
Out. And I saw him training. I saw him grappling. And he, bro, he's not a big dude. He's not a tall dude, but he's solid. And the other day that we were wrestling, and then we changed groups. I was having a war with a couple guys. And then sometimes we do that at the end of the practice. Okay, we're done. Class is over. Okay, but the last thing we have, keep the partners a takedown. Whoever score is over. And then I was having a war with someone. Then eventually, I got taken out. I did a takedown. We were done. And then we started jogging. And then Topuria was in the middle with a high-level wrestler from freaking Dagestan. And that guy is so strong and good defense. And then he took the guy down. Dagestani wrestler. That's when I'm like, man, this guy can do it all. Because I know his grapple is a high level. I just saw him knocking a couple guys out. And he's that strong and he can wrestle. This guy's going to be champion. And then I gave an interview to Michael Bisping before the fight. And I said, bro, I love Volk. I love his family, his dad, his team. But Topuria is going to become a champion. Hmm.
I thought so too, but I wanted to talk to another smart man who knew what was going on. So I went to Gilbert Burns. Gilbert, I cannot wait to see your fight, man. UFC 299 can't get here soon enough. Of course, the date, everyone knows it's going to be on pay-per-view, but it'll be March 9th, Saturday, March 9th, yeah. Live from Miami, a home game for you. Gilbert, thank you for your time. Can't wait to see your fight. Really appreciate
Welcome.
It.
You're welcome, Luca. Thank you.